Hello and welcome to a new episode of Block Tales Unchained Story. My name is Sarah. I am the Managing Director of Blockchain Founders Group. And today I have Katrin Kern with me. Super happy to have you here. So she's working as Community Manager at Holoride, and she is co-founder of No More, which is a non-profit organization fighting to end sexual violence. And this topic will be part of the episode today. So stay curious. But before we start, please, Katrin, introduce yourself quickly.
Yeah. Hi, Sarah. Thanks so much for having me today. And thanks for the quick intro. So what can I say about myself? I would say, actually, that I'm a nostalgic who therefore maybe all the more tries to grapple with all these new technologies, blockchain being part of it, just to stay on top of everything. And then as most of us, or as most of your guests on this podcast, I'd also consider myself a Web3 optimist. I'm very active in particularly the NFT scene. And I also recently rediscovered gaming, preferably strategy games. Yeah, also some on the blockchain, but to be quite honest, they're not as refined as like regular games. And as you said, professionally, I'm currently crypto and community growth manager at the tech entertainment startup Holoride. But my roots actually go back to the humanities. I did a first bachelor's in business administration, and then I studied film and media studies again and received a master's degree in that area. And on the side, I co-founded the NGO No More. We developed an intersectional feminist self-protection course for women and all other persons read as female. That's me. And I'm super looking forward to talking to you today.
Yeah, thank you for that introduction. I think a really interesting CV. You already experienced a lot of, as far as I know. So let's start with our question. We're always trying to start a podcast. So how would you explain your Web3 everyday life to your grandma?
Oh, I love that question. And maybe I have to start by saying that my grandma, who's not with us anymore, unfortunately, but she was super smart. So she actually understood what the internet was and what Facebook and everything was. So I would say to her, you know, grandma, how right now the current internet is in the hands of some very few powerful tech corporations who basically can do whatever they want with our data, which is being created while we use these applications. And Web3 tries to build a new internet. It tries to redistribute the power to the margins of the network of people using these applications so that everyone, for example, is in control of their data again and that everyone can own pieces of the internet even. However, some people do not think much of this very utopian idea and think that we should not fall prey to a promise that actually cannot really be fulfilled in the end. And to some extent, I do agree, but also Granny, Web3 has empowered me personally as a humanities graduate who had nothing to do with tech, nothing to do with economics, nothing to do with finances, to actively take part in tech, which I before wouldn't have had the courage or the self-confidence to do. And for this lived experience of many marginalized groups, I still believe in the Web3 idea, even if in the end it might come to fruition through a detour and not how everyone else or like regular experts might think and propagate.
Wow, impressive. And I believe your grandma must be super smart if she's able, or if she would be able to understand your answer, but I'm pretty sure she would if she was even able to understand the internet and if she really was interested in going with all those new information. But you said you didn't start or study any tech things. So how did you get into blockchain? Because you said it's like for any reason you ended up in the blockchain space without technical knowledge and you studied something totally different. So how did you start?
Yeah. So I first came into contact with crypto through NFTs. At the beginning of 2021, through my partner and the mutual friends group we have, where some had already set up a crypto portfolio as an additional branch of investment, and they had started to invest in NFTs. Some of them bought the Bored Apes and so on. I unfortunately didn't. And to be honest, like, classic cryptocurrencies hadn't really interested me that much until then. But when the first NFT PFP collections became so popular, I was hooked all of a sudden, because I don't know about you, Sarah, but my first reaction was like, this is completely absurd. Like, the sums of money people are willing to invest in a JPEG, which in many cases, like, A, is not even particularly aesthetic, and B, can just be right-click saved. Spoiler alert, I obviously had no idea back then, but I just wanted to understand that. So I took a bit of play money and minted into the first project. And at second glance, as I was part of these communities, I found it totally fascinating. I mean, the sense of belonging, that the strong communities convey, and the strength of the communities themselves around a shared interest, a shared mission, and how you can feel so connected to your NFT, how you can actually identify with an avatar, with a JPEG, and the project and brand behind it. I think that's just amazing. Yeah.
So you really started to kind of dig deep in the space. You started entering, I think, the Discord world, and really tried to understand as much as possible. Before you give me an answer on that, was there any other woman with whom you could kind of share your thoughts and you could talk to? Because you also said that you got introduced through your partner. And this is what I unfortunately hear and experience quite often, that the man had always been first, and like, they're the easiest contact point are always the boyfriends or the partners, and not another friend. So how was it for you?
Exactly the same, unfortunately. I wish I could tell you a different story, but that's what it is. So basically, I was the only woman in a group of male friends and my partner. But as soon as I started to really look for projects I was interested in, I minted into different projects, which is then the rest of the group. So basically, I met all the amazing women I'm in touch with through NFT projects, and they're from around the world. And I mean, we'll get to that story later, what I experienced as community manager, but that really helped me in a phase where I didn't feel well. So this was extremely valuable. And I think that is why it's also so great that you and your co-host created this podcast and give the stage to women, because I mean, still in the whole blockchain crypto space, it's extremely male dominated. And I mean, the per default address is bro, and I think that says everything.
I mean, maybe especially, so we can already maybe go to that one question. From my point of view, the whole NFT space, there are some women collections made from women and for women. But nevertheless, the majority is really male. And so the expression and the pictures and what is shown and everything is still super male. And because you're really deep in that community, how do you experience this? Is it changing a little, or is it still like strong men focus?
I think when I think about the collections being created or that have been created as of maybe last summer to the beginning of last winter, I think it changed a little bit, especially how NFT projects develop their missions. But maybe that's a topic for another time. But I think in the beginning, it was actually true. Like, the aesthetic design of PFP NFT collections especially was very gendered. And I think in the beginning, this was important because you needed these PFP collections that women and other marginalized groups could identify with. But I think it's also important that founders of NFT projects try to include more diversity in the missions and also in the aesthetic designs of their NFT projects, simply because it's smart. I'm not wielding the moral club, which wouldn't be reprimandable either, because there is an ethical aspect to it, which is extremely important, but diversity drives up numbers. I mean, that's the truth. So
yeah, for sure. And women also do have money. So yes, it's super smart to include them as well. So I think the last topic we talked about was that you kind of started reading and going through all the Discord channels in 2021. But now you're a community manager at HoloRide. So how did you get there? How was your path?
Actually, there was a phase in my life where I had to reorient myself professionally. And I was like, okay, I'm so fascinated with this whole Web3 movement, with the crypto space, with the NFT space, which I perceived as extremely empowering. My next job has to be in this area, or I'm just going to sell my most valuable NFT and just travel the world for a year. So it was either or. And then, I found this job at HoloRide. I applied, and basically 2 weeks later, I got the approval or the confirmation that I would start there. And this is how I ended up there. And yeah, it's been a wild, very cool ride, I have to say. I learned a lot because now I see things from a different perspective. I was mostly part of communities and not the architect of communities. And now I'm on the other side. And it's taught me a lot about the crypto space, but also life lessons.
I can imagine. So, the two of us met actually over DLT Talents. And yes, it's a platform, an educational platform only for women from Frankfurt School of Blockchain Center. I can highly recommend it, by the way. And so there was one class where you kind of told a story. And I was just like, oh my God, this sounds super interesting. And I really, really want to understand more. So I called you and asked you whether you want to join our podcast. And yeah, maybe you are the only one who really experienced what happened. So maybe you can start explaining what happened. And I'm pretty sure there are many questions are coming up. But yeah, I'm really curious about your story.
Yes, sure, obviously. So maybe I'll go a step back so that people actually know what I'm talking about and briefly explain what HoloRide does in three sentences. So they're a tech entertainment startup, and they built this amazing tech stack that enables you to enjoy VR content in the backseat of a moving vehicle, a car, for example. And the content you see through your VR goggles adapts to the vehicle's movement in real time by collecting, for example, data from the moving car. And this means if the car turns right, the VR content you're experiencing also turns right. And that's what makes it so super immersive and also reduces motion sickness as a positive side effect. And then what they also did is they launched their own utility token, Ride. And this token was created to supercharge and incentivize engagement on the HoloRide platform, which I think you can imagine as some sort of Web3 blockchain-based next Netflix. Yeah. I think that is probably a good comparison because I know it can be super tough to understand what they're doing if you've never experienced it. So basically, in the future, you will be able to pay with Ride in the HoloRide ecosystem at a discount, for example, or even get co-governance rights through a token gating solution where you can co-determine certain processes and so on and so on. And last year, they also launched their first NFT collection, which is one perk enables you to use your NFT as a personalized avatar in one of the first games that you can play with the HoloRide tech stack. Okay. So that's that.
Explanation is really helpful. Thank you for that.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it took me a while to really get to the bottom of what they're doing, because it's so innovative, it's so new, the world has never seen something like that before, so it takes a while.
I think gaming and driving might be a super interesting combination, because like you spend so much time in the car, and of course you can work as well, but sometimes it's also nice to relax a little. And I know that there's a problem if you play games and you might kind of get sick, and not everybody can do it. And so I didn't know about that, but it sounds really like something that could change the future.
Definitely. And it actually grew out. That one of their slogans is revolutionizing in-car entertainment forever. And I think that actually holds true. So let's see what the future holds in store. But it's a super cool product. You can check out the website, you can already buy it, you can basically enable every car, like even a vintage car, to use it. So it's like top-notch, super innovative tech right here. And back to the NFT collection, I was an integral part of it as community manager. In general, I'm responsible for the whole Ride community, right? The utility token of HoloRide, but then a separate community originated from HoloRide launching their first NFT project, Cloudbreakers. And I mean, the community had some understandable criticism about how things were done, which is kind of always the case. I mean, minting processes are extremely complicated. There's a lot of coding involved, a lot of audits to be done. And the basics worked out perfectly. But then we received some criticism about timings and so on. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, that's why you have a community. That's why you have a community manager. And that is also the beauty of community management versus social media management, because you are in such close contact with your community members. They do have a voice. They do feel entitled to use that voice. And a lot of great things can come out of this. For example, as a company, you basically get advocates who advertise for you for free.
Yeah, because
they're so convinced of your product.
And on the other hand, it's totally normal that people have different opinions on something. So
sure.
I think it's especially if the community is growing and you have like, I don't know, maybe more than 20 people, they always have different opinions on timing, on like, what should it look like? What should it, what should the options be? So I think it's totally normal that there are always some people kind of complaining. Understand. Okay.
And oftentimes, I mean, not everyone utters their criticism in the most respectful way, but even that, I mean, sometimes people need a scapegoat, and sometimes it's just because they're so emotionally attached to the project. So it's like a compliment in disguise, which oftentimes doesn't make it better, but that is all okay. And I was prepared for that. But then this criticism. Yeah.
Quick question. How big is your community, or how big was it back then? So approximately that we kind of know how many people.
Yeah. So the Ride community is about 40,000 wallets strong, roughly.
Okay.
And then the rest of the community is about 80,000 people strong. And then the Cloudbreakers community is pretty small. It's about 3,000 people strong right now. And this is also due to what happened in the process of minting the project. If you're a community manager, if you're trying to build a community in whatever function, small doesn't mean worse. Oftentimes, smaller communities are the stronger ones in quality. So that really isn't an issue. And I mean, we weren't an NFT project of 10,000 PFPs plus, but a really small one. So,
and are you the only community manager, like taking care about everything?
Yeah, I'm the only community manager. Yeah, I mean, it's still a startup. It has its ups and downs. But I mean, the cool thing is that I'm not limited to community management, but I also get to give strategic input into all the crypto products being developed, which is obviously super cool. So we have like my coworkers and I, we have a very tight relationship and we talk about everything. So it's not like a closed off role, which I really enjoy personally.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I was in a corporate company before. And now I'm in a small company as well. And it's totally different. your responsibilities and everything changes a lot.
Yeah. I mean, there's always advantages and disadvantages to everything, but this is something I personally really enjoy. Maybe back to the criticism we faced.
Yes.
Everything was totally normal, but then there was this one community member who was super active on the blockchain network we're on, and he started to post tweets about us in a more and more disrespectful way. Let's leave it at that. And in the beginning, we paid attention to him because you can never really be sure. Is this a person who just wants to spread hate? Is this a person who maybe doesn't really know how to express their thoughts in a more respectful manner? So in the beginning, we maybe made the mistake to pay this person too much attention. But I mean, afterwards, you're always smarter. I think in that moment, it was the right thing to do to answer him. And
I mean, just to quickly interrupt you, and I'm pretty sure you will tell the rest of the story by now.
Yeah.
If there is somebody who is not happy about what's happening, I mean, it always helps, or I would do the same, that I would take care about that person, because you want that everybody is happy. And additionally, if somebody is like really like has negative vibes, of course, it's important that it's not kind of spread. And so I would do exactly the same from my point of view.
Yeah. And I mean, it's super tough to strike a balance here, because some people, I mean, they might not master English as much as, for example, you do, because they're from a different country or whatever. And then you always have to, you know,
read between the lines.
Exactly. You have to read between the lines. And often what sounds like a person who's super pissed at you and your project turns out to just want to give you valuable feedback and who's actually super happy. So there's no right and wrong here. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it's also important to listen to your guts. But I mean, there were some flags, let's say, that could have prevented me from getting into the situation I then got in. But I'll get to that later when I share my tips and learnings from that situation. So basically, we paid this community member attention on Twitter, so publicly, and then he felt confirmed in him like drawing attention to what we did wrong and so on. So he felt powerful, and that is what happens when you pay these people attention. And with these people, I mean a certain type of internet troll.
Because people think they are anonymous, and so people wouldn't do that, I guess, if it would be clear who's behind the name or the role. But if nobody knows who is like writing and who is behind the name, it might people behave totally different.
Exactly. And then what happened, he kind of focused and zeroed in on me as community manager of Holoride. And it started by him publicly questioning my competency by tagging me with my name on Twitter. And he also continuously tagged me in the Discord, questioning my professionalism, trying to get me to legitimate why I'm even, or to justify why I'm even community manager of this project, if I've ever even minted an NFT before and stuff like this. So this is how it started. And since we were in the middle of the minting process and there was a lot of attention in general on Holoride, his tweets received a lot of attention and also traction through the Twitter algorithm. And that gave him this momentum where he had relatively high engagement and likes below his tweets. And in the beginning, as I said, I tried to mitigate it. I tried to explain myself. I even posted a tweet about my experiences in the NFT space, obviously without mentioning which NFT projects I minted into, because it's simply not professional. And that is what this guy didn't want to understand. I can't reveal the personal investment choices I make to the community. Like you have to draw a line at some point.
Yeah. So you even try to justify your knowledge and your experiences. Yeah. And yeah, I think that sometimes happens, but it's not, it's not a good thing to do that, because then people are even more encouraged to.
Exactly. And I mean, I framed it in a way that I said, hey, my Twitter account is relatively new. I just wanted to introduce myself to the rest of the community. And the rational people who also followed his tweet but weren't necessarily supporters of his tweets, I think for them it was actually quite good, because they saw, oh, okay, she's reacting to it, but in a smart way. She's not tagging him. She's not paying him any more attention. But she apparently perceives a necessity for her to introduce herself more. And I was like, I'm okay with that. I mean, they can know that I minted into this many NFT collections. I don't care. I just can't reveal the names of the NFT collections. And then what he did is he started posting very misogynist content about me. And this is when it kind of turned from being just a normal shitstorm, where he would slander the HoloRide team and question my competency, which is also misogynist in itself. But then it got really, really clear, because then he, I don't even know with which post it started. I would have to look that up in my timeline. But he said basically a happy end is needed, and he talked with a community member about this, with happy end meaning like a sexual interaction, because apparently I'm not friends with him. And then
so it was only on you, and it was sexual, not in any way objective, nothing about the NFT. It was only bringing you to a bad light and kind of pushing you into any kind of sexual situation.
Definitely. And the funny thing is, which I think I didn't really say publicly, but I mean, smart people probably already knew, I'm the one who feeds all the bots in the Discord. I'm the one who writes all the posts on the Twitter. I even have different aliases where I sometimes post information which wouldn't make sense to post under my name, and so on. I speak with my freelancer who I tell what to post, for example. And especially in terms of what had been criticized, how, quote, shitty we built this NFT project, I basically copy-pasted what the product owner told me and put it in the Discord. But whenever he came in, and he's a man, he all of a sudden was this big savior who has an idea what he's doing. And whenever I posted stuff, I was always the one who's not fit for the job. And this is actually, in hindsight, super funny and ridiculous, and actually proof for the misogynist attitudes he and the other community members who supported him had. Because, I mean,
To be honest, it's really sad if people behave like that. And I even feel a little sorry that he had to behave like that. So in his life, there must have happened anything really bad, or he must be really unhappy, or there is nobody paying attention in real life to this person. Because if he would have like a real normal or great life, he would not behave like that. Because
exactly.
There's no reason from my perspective. And so I really feel sorry for those people in a way that they have to behave that way. But of course, how did you feel, and what happened to you? Because I think if you're in the middle of such a storm, of such a difficult situation, and it's getting more and more, I would not know how I would react and what to do. So I think this is now super interesting to understand it. What you did and how you kind of got out of the situation, because I think it's getting really personal at a certain point.
Definitely. And that's when I really started to get into this really bad downward spiral, because I mean, it does take a toll on your mental health. You can't keep a clear head, especially when it targets your identity as a woman. There was nothing I could have written that would have convinced him and the few supporters he had otherwise, because it was not about real criticism. It was about he being a misogynist person and enjoying to spread hate about me. And there were GIFs about me where people were ejaculating on my Twitter name. And then he posted a video. Oh. I mean, he went, in hindsight, it's super ridiculous and pathetic, as you said, because in real life, apparently he feels quite impotent, pun intended. But I mean, he actually set up a camera in what looked like his garage. He bought a Pikachu costume because before that, someone had posted a picture of a woman in a leather or a silicon, whatever, Pikachu costume where you could see her breasts hanging out. You couldn't see her face. And I was also tagged. So it was getting very sexualized and I was objectified as a woman. Wow. And then he set up this camera. He bought a Pikachu costume.
Wow. How much did he spend on that? It's crazy. So... wow, his poor normal life. I think there is happening in his normal life.
Yeah, so he donned the Pikachu costume and he crawled or walked, I don't know anymore, through the screen frame with a flower and he whispered, shame, shame, shame. And then the tweet was that I was supposed to crawl on my knees to him and apologize or something because at that point we had banned him in our Discord and stuff. So yeah, it was really, really pathetic. I mean, imagine that, the length people go through to spread hate about someone else. This is super, super sad for this person. Yeah.
Without even knowing you. And I think the starting point did not count anymore at all. Mm-mm. So it was not about what happened. It was not about the NFTs. It was about bringing you to really bad light.
Definitely. And you asked me how I felt. Like right now, when you hear me talk about this, I mean, I'm clear. Like in retrospect, you can always see the things in a different, clearer, more rational perspective. But when you're in the middle of such a shitstorm, which is, as I said, targeted at your identity as a woman, there's nothing you can do, then you can't think clearly anymore. You feel like the world is against you. You think that he has this tremendous group of supporters.
Which is not the case, but it feels like.
Exactly. It feels like that. And you feel alone. I couldn't sleep anymore. I was basically online and working 7 days, 24/7. Yeah. It seemed to last forever. I think it was about 2 weeks that it was targeted at me. The community member still keeps spreading hate about Holoride and, you know, targets
nowadays.
Even nowadays. Oh. Yeah. And I mean, the funny thing is he doesn't sell his NFTs he bought nevertheless, which is, which I can see because I know his wallet address, which he should know that, I mean, blockchain is a transparent network.
Yes, it is.
On, but yeah, I mean, just on a side note. I also imagine people who are actually just criticizing in a rational and respectful way were kind of friends of him and who were all trying to kind of extract information from me. So you start imagining things which aren't real. And the first tip I would give to everyone finding themselves in a similar situation is, by all means, do not feed the trolls. I mean, we've all heard that sentence before, this aphorism before, but it's really, really true. You cannot feed the trolls, even if you want to defend yourself.
It's impossible. You can't. Yeah. You can't have a conversation on a high level and really trying to understand or really talking about objective topics. It's impossible. So he only wants to spread his ideas and his hate. And yeah, I can feel, or I can imagine that you even felt like some fear inside of you because you don't know how it kind of ends. And yeah, so
definitely. And you also start to question yourself. Yeah, I mean, I think you can be the most self-confident person ever if you have only the tiniest fraction of empathy inside you. You of course try to put yourself in the community member's shoes and you're like, did I do anything wrong? Is he maybe right? And I think that is something particularly women struggle with, because that's how we've been socialized, to always question ourselves and not be as self-confident as our male counterparts. But anyway, I think everyone in a shitstorm, regardless of gender, will probably get to this point where you're like, I don't even know what to think of myself anymore. Okay. And the only good thing you can do is block the shit stirrer. You need to ban him. You need to block him. When it gets to a point where you feel like fact-based arguments don't work anymore and just make it worse, block them, ban them. Don't think about it twice. Maybe talk to a colleague you trust and ask them about it. But that is the power you have. And they want to make you feel powerless. But as community manager, I'm the one in control. If I feel like a community member is harmful to the community I'm the manager of,
you can excuse then them.
Exactly, they need to go. What I did and what I would recommend is you always have to set up rules for your Discord server, for example, and you can post them in a different channel, or everyone has to tick the box before they can enter your channel, because then it gets transparent. And you should include a line which says, like, harmful, racist, sexist comments and so on are not allowed in here. And you can always refer to that, because that makes it transparent. And mostly the shitsters have different Discord accounts. So he's not really not there anymore, but not under his name. And they will question your decision to ban him and try to stir even more shit. So it's always good to have these rules you can refer to. So that is something I would definitely recommend. And then ban them, block them, don't think about them again, and don't look at what they are posting on Twitter anymore. You might feel seduced to look at what they've been tweeting even after you've banned him, simply because, I don't know, it's like you want to grapple with it, you want to kind of regain control, but it's simply not possible. And that's the pitfalls of social media as well. Yeah. And maybe ask a colleague to monitor what this person is writing in case you do have to react. But if you're in the middle of a shitstorm, if you're the target, don't do it, because it's really bad for your mental health. And no one can expect you to do it. In my case, my CEO, for example, didn't expect me to do it. He actually talked to me privately and asked me if there was anything he could do for me. So he behaved in a very empathetic way, which I'm still grateful for. But in the end, you'll have to go through it alone. Co-workers can step in for you if you need to take a distance. And this is also important. Don't work through the weekends. Don't be online 24/7. Take a break. Distance yourself from what is happening. And talk to people you trust. Talk to friends. Go outside, like, leave your laptop, go offline for a few days, because that is what you need in that moment, because otherwise you won't get out of this spiral.
How long did it take for you to really get out of all the negative feelings and also of the feeling of being powerless and like everything negative that kind of happened to you?
I think, even from the beginning, I didn't really feel powerless in the sense of I'm scared this person is going to cost me my job or anything like that. I knew that rationally I was in control, because I'm the owner of the Discord server, for example. I'm the one in power. And this is what triggered the other member to slander me like that, because he just didn't like a woman to be in a position of power like that.
Okay, I understand.
But emotionally, it's a different story, and it takes a while. And even while I was in that, I probably wouldn't have used the term shitstorm. It was only really after I saw GIFs where a man ejaculates on me that I was like, okay, like, this is not normal.
Way too far. Many borders are already crossed. It's really...
Exactly.
I'm not okay to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Impossible. And then...
Something like that.
Sorry to
interrupt.
No,
I just said it's impossible to you, but go ahead. How did you get out and how long?
Yeah, back to your question. It probably took me longer than it could have, simply because I actually went to the internet and I typed in how to deal with a shitstorm. But what I found is how to deal with a shitstorm as a company, as this institution, mm-hmm. or how to deal with a shitstorm as a private person. But this was not the case. I was neither a totally private person, nor was I
the whole company.
Exactly.
It was you personally, but because of the NFT mint in the connection with your job.
Exactly. So whatever I did, obviously, I had to get a sign off from my superior or the buy-in from the rest of the team. So it wasn't that easy. And I really felt like this information was missing out there. And so it took me a little while to do all of these steps that I'm outlining now. So first of all, don't feed the trolls, block and ban. Don't look at their Twitter. And then take time off, distance yourself. Ask a colleague to step in for you. Talk to friends and people you trust. Mm-hmm. And then what really helped me is I went to the NFT communities, mostly a female-led project, mm-hmm. and talked to people there. Did anyone make the same experiences? I also talked to female community members on the network HoloRider's using. And they actually all told me the same. I mean, some of the answers were super sad, which is representative of the community of the whole network, which is a different story. And they told me, yeah, I can relate. I mean, I've maybe not experienced a shitstorm like you, but whenever I have to convey bad news to the community, I ask a male colleague of mine to write the announcement under his name because I'm scared of what might happen. Wow. If I write it under my name. I write the announcement for him and then he posts it under his alias. And I mean, this is quite sad. But then I also obviously found a lot of people who went through it and who could give me all of these tips and who actually reassured me that I was not alone. And I think that is the most important thing. It's good to talk to friends, but if the friend of yours is not by chance also a community manager in the Web3 space, then they can listen to you on a personal, interpersonal level, but they won't be able to share your experiences. So this really helped me a lot to go to these community servers that I'm part of through an NFT, or even if I don't have an NFT, and people are super supportive in there, and they know exactly what you're going through, and they give you that safe space again. And they make you feel like this is not representative of the whole Web3 space. We're also here. And this really like saved my mental ass.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you so much for sharing that story with us, with our community. Like I said at the beginning, I heard some parts of your story at DLT Talents. I was like, okay, this is really, really tough. And I think you need to be a super strong woman to really go through that process. And even being like what you did now, like talk about it. And as I can see, you're super self-confident. I think that it didn't harm you. So from the current perspective, at least not. And yeah, I think it's like really... it's important to talk about those things, because what you said, like the most important thing is that you found out that you're not alone. And so from my point of view, I really would like to, or for me, it's super important that the story will be spread even more, because then if it happens to others, you directly have the feeling, okay, you are not alone. And there are other people that experience similar things, and you can talk to them and you can really... you're not alone. I think that's basically the point. So luckily myself, I've never experienced something like that. So I'm thankful for that. But I mean, even now it would be a lot easier for me to handle the situation, at least I guess, because I know that those things can happen and I know how you handle it. And I think especially your advices, I think they are super helpful. Go out of that situation, because you can't change what's happening online. There's not even a chance to sit down with that person and talk through everything. I mean, the other person, he doesn't want to talk through anything, that it's not possible. So yeah, I think it's a hard story. It's a tough story. And I'm super happy you shared it with us. So thank you again for that.
Definitely. And maybe if I can say two more things, because that is super important. My very last advice would be, report the shit stirrer on Twitter. You can do that. And also you can report the shit stirrer to the police if it's necessary. So you can take legal action. And there are NGOs like, for example, hateaid.org, which will help you with that as a last resort if you feel like you have to. And to all the men listening here, or to all the leaders, to women as well, if someone in your network or even in your team experiences like that, or especially women and other marginalized groups, tell you about their experiences, just try and listen. I know that sometimes it's hard because the perpetrators, it's the same as sexualized violence in real life, are mostly men. That's just the fact. And if they tell you about their lived experience, don't try to negate their, let's say, testimonial knowledge, because most women will be able to testify to this. And just try to listen. You don't have to take action, and it doesn't mean that the person telling you this thinks you're an asshole just because you're a man or you identify as a man. And just try to be empathetic, because the well-being of your employee or your community manager in that case is also directly going to affect the work they can do for you. That would be my last appeal to all the amazing men out there in the Web3 space.
This part is super important as well. And yeah, thank you for sharing your thoughts on that as well. I think we are all together, and we are all on the same, especially in the Web3 area, we are going through many things together. And I think it's always better to help each other, to grow each other, to be here for each other, and not to kind of push down somebody else, because this doesn't help at all.
Definitely.
Yeah, so Katrin, thank you so much for telling your story, for being part of Blog Tales. I think it might help a lot of people, especially, of course, women. But yeah, thank you so much for being here. And it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. It was great being able to tell the story. And I also had a lot of fun, although it was such a hard topic. I think that's a good sign.
You're confident about everything you're kind of talking now. So I'm really impressed how you really, how you mentioned it, how you managed everything. And this is, it's super nice. I really like your energy and your positivity. That's perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.